The book of Luke again tonight, Luke chapter number 14, and we'll look at a few verses in this passage of Scripture. That'll be our text tonight, and then we'll see what God has for us. Luke chapter number 14. Of course, we're coming up on a holiday weekend celebrating 250 years of our great nation, and what a blessing it is to live in this great nation. While it has a lot of problems, it is still the greatest nation on the earth, and I'm thankful for it. And we ought to be praying that God would have mercy on us, and that we would have an opportunity in this day and age, and I believe we do, to reach people with the gospel, and we should be thankful for the great heritage that we have. But just to mention that, remind people to be in church next Sunday, and a good day to, we celebrate our nation and then say, well, because I'm celebrating my nation, I'm not going to exercise the freedom to assemble, because I'm celebrating, too busy celebrating the freedom. Well, we ought to use the freedoms that God has given us. And so just a reminder, and I mentioned this morning, we'll continue in our series on mercy next week. And I've got a message the Lord's given me, mercy and America. And so we'll look at that next Sunday morning. But tonight, Luke chapter number 14, our Lord, much of his ministry, he used teaching, illustrations. We saw that in Luke chapter 15 this morning. Look with me and verse number, let's go down back to verse number 15 of Luke 14. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, meaning our Lord unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. They all with one's consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. You will have to forgive me just for a second. It sounds like a bunch of Baptists. We got to get the world. We got to reach the world. Okay, who wants to go and who wants to give? Well, I've got 5 oxen. Is the Lord? You get the point I'm making. Verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife. What's the groaning there for, man? And therefore I cannot come. Watch verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. It is the Father's will that his house be full. And tonight I want to preach a message I've entitled, it's where the broken people live. We look at verse 23, and the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges. What he was saying, go to where the broken people live. And tonight I want us to look at that. Father, we come to you again, thankful for your blessings, thankful for what you've done for us already today. Bless the message now, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm thankful for the ministries that God has given us, some of the new ministries. I'm thankful. We just came off a month of, not a whole month of camp, but we had 2 camp weeks this month, and with Camp New Beginnings. And as we know, we have prayed for that ministry and prayed for God to give us a spot. And this year, he's given us 80 acres of property, and that is in development. And already at the camps this year, young people got saved, and Ivan and Kim, I believe your 2 granddaughters got saved this past week, and so we praise the Lord for that. But churches are beginning to support it, and I'm excited because, as you know, I didn't tell you all the details because they want to remain anonymous. So there's people behind, businessmen behind us getting that property, and there's local businessmen that are local to that area. They've committed to help, and they're going to help with equipment. Help with supplies and labor and with the county connections. And we know how important, especially in rural Georgia, county connections are. And that is just as good as money. And what the Lord did for us, instead of somebody writing a check for $1 million and saying, go buy you property, he gave us a property, I would say, close to $1 million in value. And the same is, he's working on those things. And so continue to pray. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that, those who will be saved. And part of the vision there is not just to have camp. It's to have couples retreats and preachers retreats and all kinds of different things that will go on there. Our 12 Stones of Recovery ministry we started this year. You heard me say earlier we had, this is our third session. We had 22 this afternoon, and I believe we'll have more than 40 when Tuesday comes around. That's a lot of people. And this is our third session. I believe, and there's been testimony from many of you of how that's helped you. But my vision for that is my vision is for us to have 12 Stones meetings all over Jacksonville, Florida, just like we have Sunday school classes that are spreading out all over Jacksonville, Florida, because there are people who are bound in addictions. They are without hope, they think. And just to see what that is going to do, I believe that churches, other churches, we're going to be presenting this to other churches that they can establish inside their ministry as well. I believe God is going to use that great ministry. Many of you have asked me when I'll be rescheduling a night of hope through our Binding the Brokenhearted ministries. And I'm working on that now, but since recently some things have transpired. While I was out of town a couple weeks ago, Brother Fox met with some individuals, and pray for Brother Fox as that community chaplain. He's been doing funerals. I believe there was 3 or 4 saved this past week for a funeral he did. He's got another funeral he's doing. You say, who are these people? He doesn't know until he gets there. And that is an opportunity for him, an opportunity for our church, an opportunity to give the gospel. But we have 3 funeral homes partnering with our Knights of Hope. The Hardage Giddings in Holly Hill, where I've known Mary, the funeral director, for a long time. We do a lot of funerals there. Rivermead, Blanding, Riverside, Normandy, and 295. Basically, what that means is they will let us use their facilities for a night of hope anytime we want to use their facilities. And not just that, they are going to put, when they meet with a family, they're going to have a flyer in that packet of information advertising the Night of Hope so they can come and get help with their grief. They're also going to be sending a digital advertisement as well. And then the aftercare packets, they'll have that information in the aftercare packet, because as you know, people who lose someone, that now the questions come, how do I cope with this? How do I deal with this? And as you know that we believe, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to everything. And they're going to even advertise the Knights of Hope in their foyers. So when you come in, I mean, this is the Lord's favor. And between those facilities, they average about 800 funerals in a year. And so that is access to about 800 families that it's just an open door. That does not mean every one of them will participate, but it's certainly an opportunity for us to minister to those families. And certainly when people are grieving, they're open to answers. They're open to the gospel. They're open to help. They're open to the things of the Lord. And so I believe that's going to give us a great avenue just there. There are 9 other funeral homes affiliated with the Hardest Giddens Network in Jacksonville that I believe eventually, if the Lord continues to show favor, will allow us to get into those. And then obviously there are funeral homes all over the country. And there's a great opportunity there with all these grief materials and our publications ministry and the things that we're putting together. And so this is new information since the last Night of Hope. So I'm working on a lot of things, which means some writing projects I had on the back burner. This is to let you know so you can pray, but to let a few individuals who may or may not work in publications know this, they're having to come to the front burner. Because we are going to have a great audience, I believe, not just to these individuals, but to others. And so that is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for me. So to answer your question, I'll have those dates for you, Lord willing, in the next week or two, because these funeral homes are asking for them, and we'll have some there. We'll still have some at different locations, and that's going to expand even faster than I thought it was going to. So all of these different things are helping and ministering to people you don't think about who need help in ministering to. Because most churches, if we're honest, we spend our time looking for people who have it all together, knowing nobody has it all together. In this story, the master sent his servant to invite people to the feast. And I preach this message tonight and tie all this in because just the opportunity that's in front of us, 800 families, three facilities saying, if you get this down, we can open up some more to you, much less what else can open up out there. I cannot do this all myself. So it's a good thing you got a good staff. My staff cannot do this all ourselves. It means God's going to use some of you to stand up in front of a little group of people and use what God has done in your life to help them and minister to them. It means if we expand that 12 stone, some of you that you're just now getting into this, you're going to be one who has a group of people that you take through. That's the way God would have it. This is a burden that the church bears of helping broken people. We know that this world is full of broken people, but we need to be reminded that those around us are in need. The master sent his servant to invite people to the feast. As we read, the first invitations went to people who had opportunities in front of them. They had business opportunities. They had possessions. They had plans they had already made, and what they all had to were excuses. One had bought some land. One had bought some oxen. One had married a wife. Truth of the matter is, none of them were interested. Right. Then the master gives a different command. He says, go to where the broken people live. Go where people have been forgotten. Go to where people are hurting. Go to where people are desperate enough to know they need help. Go to the highways and hedges. See, the highways and hedges were not places of prestige. They were places of poverty. It was the place of the wayward one, the wayside traveler. This is the place of the outcast, places where people who had nowhere else to go often ended up. And certainly this is not a blueprint to forget those of means, because everybody needs the gospel. The rich man will find out that his possessions, his prestige, his platform, the way he feels in society is not going to be enough to get him to heaven. And certainly the child of God who lives for those things are going to be empty-handed at the judgment seat of Christ, because they laid up no treasures in heaven. This is not a picture to ignore those people. We should still give the command. But we are reminded here that we have a command to go to where the broken people are. See, the highways and hedges we read about are where broken people live. If we're honest tonight, that's where the Lord found us. He found us in the highways and the hedges. He found us broken. Let me give you several things tonight with this in mind. Number one, the broken people are often the most receptive people. I just mentioned those that are grieving, those that are hurting, those that are looking for answers are going to be open to the gospel. See, the wealthy had excuses, while the broken had needs. And by the way, God breaks the wealthy people as well. God has a way of breaking us all so that we see our need. The successful were too busy, while the hurting were looking for hope. Those with full schedules had no room for the invitation, but those with empty hearts were searching for something. And friend, there's a lot of people out there, they're empty, they're looking for something, and what they don't know is they're really looking for someone. See, the gospel, more times than not, finds its greatest reception among those who already know they need it. Think of the woman at the well. She was not a woman in good standing in society. She was an outcast. the demon-possessed man of Gadara, that not only were people not wanting to associate with, they were terrified of. Think about Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Not a popular individual, but it was the Lord who was looking for him. Mary Magdalene, the woman possessed of devils. Truth of the matter is, religion wasn't looking for her. But we know the story tells us of what a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the thief on the cross. We often forget the thief on the cross, and no, he didn't have an opportunity to get baptized as a new believer in Christ. He didn't have an opportunity to go through a discipleship curriculum. But nevertheless, he was broken. He was on the outside of society. Society was taking his life because he had earned that judgment. And yet it was the Lord who found him. He was ready. See, people who know they're broken usually are the first to respond. And by the way, a good lesson for us is sometimes the Lord's got to break us before we'll respond. See, one of the greatest mistakes a church can make is focusing all their energy on people who think they don't need God. As we drive through our city and our neighborhoods, there are those who you say, well, they have means, and often we're intimidated by those types of neighborhoods. Friend, no matter what door they live behind, they have an eternal soul. Say, well, friend, I'm not going to neglect those because they have souls, but truth of the matter is, if we just put all of our energy into those who come that look like they belong, then we are missing out on the whole point of this message. The truth of the matter is, many of them know where they should be on Sunday. They know they need God. They just don't want God. Because they're too tied up in season tickets on Sunday. They're too tied up in the political scene in the city. They don't need God. They have standing. If we're not careful, we'll make the mistake. That's one of the multitude of problems with the purpose-driven church and the purpose-driven life, besides a false salvation. But look for what Rick Warren calls Saddleback Sam. There's a certain look, there's a certain lifestyle, there's a certain means. That's who you want to get in your church. Why? So they can pay the bills. Now, friend, I'm okay with having some people of means to come in and who can pay the bills. But friend, it's God's responsibility to pay the bills through His church. And if you're a person of means, you can't buy favor. What you have isn't even yours. Well, I've got $1 million. That's God's $1 million. You're supposed to steward it. You understand what I'm saying tonight? The broken often know they need Him. The grieving widow tonight is looking for God's help. The recovering addict is looking for help. The struggling marriage is looking for help. The lonely senior citizen is looking for something. The family at the funeral home. There are teenagers battling depression. There are single mothers trying to survive. See, the highways and hedges are full of people waiting for hope. And by the way, they have a soul. They have value. And I'm just getting ahead of myself a little bit. It's amazing what God can do with broken people. It's amazing what God can do when He finds you in the highways and the hedges. And He saves your soul. He cleans you up. He makes you realize your value is in Christ, not in the standing of the world. But broken people are often the most receptive. Number two, broken people are often the people everyone else overlooks. The master specifically mentioned the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. These are not people society celebrates. These are people society ignores. See, the world, let's not forget it, values people for what they can contribute. And by the way, this is a good reminder for all of us. The world will warm up to you if you've got something you can contribute to them. Sure. But it's not you. You're not special. It's what you have and what you can do for them that they celebrate. See, you know what? Jesus values people because they were made in the image of God. See, maybe never get to a place where it's like, Pastor, we've got to change some things. We've got to, and I've been very, very careful over the last many years not to when it comes to ministry and it comes to certain ministries, not getting so far ahead of ourselves in certain areas. You have to have some stability. You have to be able to pay for some things in order to reach more people. And I've tried to be very strategic in the Lord's leading to get certain foundations so then we can launch and do more. I'm not talking about that, but if we're not careful, while we are even in the midst of that, we can go back to last Sunday night and get an entitled mentality of there's just a certain kind of people and they don't fit what we are. And I know some would probably say, well, Pastor, this is different in these kind of ministries. I agree with you, but that's where the broken people are. The people the Lord said to go after, the Master went after. They were people valued by God, but not by society. And we have to be careful that we don't just build all our ministries around reaching the strong while neglecting the weak. Whereas when a family walks in and they look like they're a church-going family and they're looking for a church, it's like, everybody, be on alert. They got kids. You go talk to them about their kids. You go talk to them about their teenagers. You go get them. Why? Because they're already down the road in what they need to know. I'm not going to turn them away. But what about the broken person that walks in? What about the family that comes in and the kids don't know how to, well, that is kind of some of y'all, but the kids don't look like they've ever been in church. They don't fit the picture. Are we just as eager to go to them and say, hi, my name is. Why don't you sit with me? We have a ministry for your children. Hey, we want you to come to our Sunday school class. But they don't look like us, Pastor. They don't look like church. What? And I still believe in 2026, I still like dressing up for church. I think there ought to be a difference in how you dress going to church and how you then going to Walmart. I'm just happy for some people to get halfway dressed when they go to Walmart. But I'm not saying you're saved or lost if you don't dress up for church. It's good to do. It shows that Sunday, this isn't a message on this, but why I'm here, it shows that the Lord's Day is a different day. Man, if you got a court hearing, I hope you would get out of your sweats. I don't want that judge to think I'm being pretentious, you know. I'm just one of the peoples. No, because there's a certain dignity that goes with it. But what about those who going to church is just such a novel idea, much less? Why don't they dress up to go to church? Maybe they are dressed up to go to church. Now, this church has been very good at this, but if we're not careful, we'll overlook the broken people. Hey, those of you that have a children's Sunday school class or a children's ministry, and that one just doesn't seem to know how to behave. First of all, I do believe reap what you sow, which tells me how you were when you were a kid, but that's a whole other story. There's a reason why people act the way they do. sometimes there's some ingredients missing of life. There's some things that they didn't have that you might have had. See, the Lord acknowledges and reminds, go into where often everyone else overlooks. The Lord reached out the lepers. He stopped what his ministry for blind men. He ate with publicans. He welcomed sinners. See, friend, there's a difference with going and participating in the activities that sinners participate in and in welcoming sinners. There's a big difference in that. And just because I am not going to go on a Friday night and they might call that fun, that's not fun to me. I don't have to go and sin with them to welcome and say, you know, by the way, Jesus loves you. The reality is that we ought to still be welcoming to sinners. Let's ask us a question. Let me ask the church tonight a question. Who is everyone else overlooking in Jacksonville? Who is everyone else ignoring? Who is sitting at a funeral home wondering how to survive tomorrow? Who just buried a spouse? Who just lost a child? Who's sitting in rehab? Who just received a cancer diagnosis? Who is overwhelmed and just hanging on by a thread? Friend, those are our highways and hedges. See, sometimes we picture that highways and hedges and you go into the poor areas and the ghetto areas. And no, but friend, highways and hedges are in even the best neighborhoods because that's where the broken people are. See, the society often overlooks these individuals. We must ask ourselves, who is being overlooked? Number three, the highways and hedges are opportunities, not obstacles. You know why often we'll overlook the broken people? Because they make us uncomfortable. Because they have problems. They're the tough cases. See, Jesus, when he saw brokenness, he went to it. He was attracted to it. See, the servant, when he was sitting back out, he didn't say avoid the highways. He didn't say they weren't told to avoid the hedges. They were commanded to actually go there. See, and far too long, I believe the church has avoided the highways and the hedges. And if we're not going to go into the public square and talk about acknowledge grief, and it's not just something to be ignored and pray more. Well, friend, our Bible is full of examples of great men and women who couldn't utter a prayer in their time of trouble. If it's true of them, it's true of us, and we have the answer to Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they've got some problems. What program does the city offer? I don't want them in a city program. The city does not have the solution. The government doesn't have a solution. They just have more problems. That's where we are supposed to go. They're opportunities, not obstacles. I said, number three, the highways and hedges are opportunities, not obstacles. We see that brokenness and we become uncomfortable. This is going to take some work. This is going to take some effort. This is going to take some prayer. The servant was not told to avoid those highways. And by the way, the brokenness of our community is not a problem to avoid. It's a mission field. Friend, we live, and this is where God has placed us. It is our responsibility as His church to reach our city, to reach those people around us. And they don't all come prepackaged with a bow on them that say, we love Jesus. In many cases, they don't even know who Jesus is. They don't think Jesus loves them. They're so broken. And why? I mean, my own family don't love me. Society doesn't love me. Why would anybody love me? And they got to know that Jesus does love them. He died for them. And there's got to be a church that says, we will love you in spite of your problems. Because truth of the matter is, if we love each other, it's in spite of our problems. If they're not going to come to the church and get help, where are they going to go? And it's an indictment on churches in general. And may we not fall into this trap, and may we be admonished tonight to make sure that if God's church is welcome to those who need the Lord, welcome to the broken. God help us if we look down our nose at people with problems and say, what is wrong with them? They're broken. Right. Let me just say to scatter throughout the church tonight, there are a lot of individuals who had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home as I did. Growing up in a church, and you don't know what it's like in the brokenness of this world. It's hard for you to get an understanding, but trust me tonight, what God has kept you from, He didn't keep you from it so that you would feel you're better. He didn't keep you from it so that you couldn't help. He kept you from it so you could help those who did not have what you had. It's not a problem for us to avoid. It's a mission field. Yes, we can go to a foreign country to win people and to preach of a Christ they've never heard of, and we should do that. But friend, I'm telling you, we're going to give an account to God one day when we have ignored the mission field of the highways and the hedges. We've ignored those who leave a funeral home with no hope. We ignore the brokenhearted. We ignore those who need that restoration. And friend, that's why we have these ministries we have. So I want us to frame it the way it should be. The Night of Hopes, those are mission events. Camp New Beginnings is a mission ministry. What I believe these ministries are the modern day highways and hedges. You know, every grieving family we come across is an opportunity to give the gospel. Every hurting person's a ministry opportunity. Can I tell you this week, and I challenge us this morning in the morning service, with mercy, that pursuing mercy invites us to join the search. Can I tell you, if you leave here, some of you leave here, and this is me on a Sunday. Especially a Sunday night service, I'm driving home. I get home, and I don't even know how I got there. I'm tired, weary from the day. My mind is all over the place. And I don't know who passes me. If you're broken down the side of the road, and I just flew by you, I didn't ignore you. I didn't even see you there. I'm sorry. But if I leave here tonight, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if we leave here tonight and I say, okay, everybody on the way home, count the number of red vehicles you see. You know what you're going to do? You're going to look for red vehicles. It's in your mind. I gotta. And please don't text me 22 when you get home. Let's all look for red vehicles. You're going to be looking. You're going to be paying attention. You're going to see one there. You're going to see one there. You're going to see one there. Right. But if you weren't looking for them, you would get, I didn't see any red vehicles, no matter how many you pass by. Right. I'm going somewhere with this. Yep. If you look for hurting people, if you're not looking for hurting people, you won't see them. That's right. You'll go through a whole week and be like, man, well, this is great. Nobody's got any problems. Everybody's got it all together. Wow, society's great. But I promise you, if you look for a hurting person, you'll find them. But if you'll walk through your daily life, work, business, wherever you go, and you look at people's faces as you enter a room. You take note of people's demeanor. You'll find somebody with a look of desperation. You'll find somebody with a hung head, with an obvious burden. You'll find somebody who had a smile on their face last week, but it's not there this week. And if God's people who should care as our Lord did, if God's people who have the answer are not looking for those individuals, we just simply will overlook them. Who's going to help them? Friend, can I remind us that every grieving family is a gospel opportunity. Every broken heart is an opportunity for Christ to be exalted. Number four. I just have five tonight. Sometimes broken people need to be compelled. In verse 23, the Bible says, compel them to come in. Now let me help you with something that does not mean you run after them, you tackle them, you tie them up, drag them to church. It doesn't mean force. It means you persuade. The greatest persuasion is not arrogance. It's not, I have something you don't have. It's compassion. It's urging them. It's encouraging them. Look, I'm not so, maybe we have different problems, but I know what God did for me. I know what the church did for me. I know what being around other people who love me, well, I can't ever comprehend that. I couldn't comprehend it either, but God has prepared a place in His church that if you'll just come, there'll be people who love you. There's a pastor who'll shepherd you. The Word of God will lead you and guide you. We must show them there's a place for them. Truth of the matter is, and we've got to all get better at this. Are you with me tonight? I know it's summer. I know it's hot. I know we've already had a full day today. But the average person thinks every church is the same. And friend, we'll say that. No, they're not the same. And Emmanuel Baptist Church is different. But you got to explain that to some broken people. Because there might have been one that said, we don't have anything to help you with, or we're not concerned with helping you, but every church is not the same, and some have a negative connotation about church and church people, and quite frankly, sometimes we've earned that. We have to show them there is a place that cares for them. We have to do more than say, oh, you've got those addictions, and you're discouraged, and you're depressed. Well, if you ever feel like it, won't you show up? We've got to do more than that. Yes, sir. We've got to say, I'm going to sign you up right now. Now let them know you're signing them up. Don't just go around random signing people up. I'll go with you. I'll save you a seat. We have to compel them. You know, broken people carry baggage. We're not surprised by that because we know how full our hands were with baggage that the Lord, when the Lord found us. People with problems, you know what they often say about church? Well, I don't belong there. Church people won't understand. I've made too many mistakes. I'm too far gone. No one cares. The servant had to convince them. Because the master knew you're going to go to those highways and hedges and they are there, they're broken people, and they're used to everybody else telling them, get out of my way. And I don't have time. Or better yet, you can't do anything for me. So when I send you to say that there's a feast prepared and there's a place for them, they're going to think there's a catch. They're going to think you're insincere. They're not going to see the value of it because the society has pushed them aside. So the servant didn't just go in there and say, y'all come. And everybody just flooded to the banquet. No, he had to talk to them. He had to convince them. That's what you and I have to do again. Jesus cares for you. God hasn't forsaken you. I can't give you the reason all these things have come into your life, but I can tell you there's a God who cares. And I can't speak for everybody else, but I can speak for myself. I am inviting you at the request of the Master because I care. And I promise you, I will continue to care. I promise you, there's a church that cares. Well, I don't believe that. Would you just come one time? See, the servant had to convince them that the invitation was genuine. A lot of times, and I'm just going to be blunt and help us tonight. A lot of times, people don't come because they don't believe our invitation is genuine. We believe every door we knock on is just our last door. They believe it's just what we're doing, we're just inviting them. Not in every case. And sometimes we put it all on the person who doesn't come when we have to take some responsibility to say, my master commanded me to compel them to come in. That word is a heavier word than just let me throw out a casual invitation and never talk to them again. Yeah. It's let me talk to them one more time. Let me invite them one more time. It might take somebody going through a whole 12-stone session before they ever darken the door of our church. It might take somebody coming to a night of hope simply because the funeral home where they buried a loved one gave them a flyer. But there they may find hope in Christ. And then beyond that, a church family who cares for them. I hope you realize what a great opportunity that is. When nobody else was there helping them, there's a church trying to help them. See, there's many hurting people feel unworthy to come. We must remind them that there's room. That grace is a real thing. Hope is a real thing. Healing can happen. And more than anything else, there is a loving Savior. See, we need to understand and we need to realize the way of this, that one invitation to a broken person may change an entire family tree. Well, they're in the highways and hedges. What do they have to offer? Well, there's generations that come behind them. It can change an entire family tree. Maybe another generation will not know what it's like to grow up in the highways and hedges, but maybe they can get that foundation they need. And maybe mom and dad made some mistakes, but that child can have a new hope and a new future. And the generations that are not yet here, that whole family tree can be changed. Let me give you number 5. The master still wants his house filled. We see that in verse 23, that my house may be filled. God's desire has not changed. He wants his house filled. Not just with successful people, not with religious people, not with people who are polished and say all the right things at the right time. I would recommend you try and do that, but that's not a prerequisite. But with saved people, redeemed people. We know this tonight. This is not a church of perfect people. You know, and this is why we have so much in Scripture that tells us that you have to have some grace, you have to have some forgiveness, because there are people you will go to church with that will offend you, and they're not even trying. And you're like, and if you're one of those, and I say, that's never happened to me, you're the one who's offending everybody, and you're not trying. Let me help you with that. We're not perfect people, but we're saved people. And I hope we're just trying to help others. See, God's desire has not changed. But can I tell you what is still the same? The highways and hedges are still full. Tonight, there's no question, there's no debating whether or not broken people exist. The question tonight is somebody going to go find them? Is there going to be a church that says we'll be the ones that go find them? Say, well, Pastor, not everybody's doing this sort of stuff. Well, maybe God has not equipped every church to reach these broken people around us, and he's challenged us to do it. Or maybe he's allowing us to lay a foundation to show others that The master still wants his house filled. And we've got to, isn't it amazing how last Sunday night with entitlement goes right in hand with this? Sometimes we're too entitled to go to the highways and hedges. Well, what would I be doing there? Picture with me one from a funeral home who, searching for answers, the recovering addict that finds 12 stones, a family devastated by loss, a struggling father, the lonely teenager. Maybe there's a discouraged veteran. Can I tell you, there's broken people, what they become? They become Sunday school teachers. There's broken people become bus workers. There's broken people become soul winners. They become deacons. They become missionaries. They become faithful church members because that's what grace does. See, our job is just to go find the broken people and let God do with them what only God can do with them. Why is it that we find broken people in Scripture and see what God made out of them and we rejoice in that? We read on the pages of history broken people that God did great things with. And we fail to see that those same broken people are in the highways and hedges around us. I conclude tonight by a reminder of the first invitations were rejected. And when they were rejected, the master did not cancel the feast. What did he do? He expanded the search. Say, well, I've tried to grow my class. Expand the search. He said, in effect, if the comfortable won't come, go find the hurting. And I remind us one more time that somebody comfortable today can be the hurting tomorrow. If the satisfied won't come, go find the hungry. See, if the self-sufficient won't come, go find the broken. See, the highways and hedges where we read tonight in our text, that's where the broken people live. They live in the highways. They live in the hedges. They live in these places that God has opened the door to us. And not only just opened the door to us, He's commanded us to go. There's lonely people sitting, and I'm so glad that our Sunday school revolution and then our mindset of basically what we're doing is what I believe is laid even in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He takes the gospel and ministry to the marketplace, and he's persuading those in the marketplace that Christ is the answer. He is the one that will put your life together. See, if we don't have motivation enough, can I leave us with a little bit more motivation tonight? The reason we should go to the highways and hedges is because one day Jesus came to where the broken people lived and he found us. I wonder how history could have been changed if God's people didn't stop going to the highways and hedges. You know, the great church builder, the great man of God, the great influence on us and in my life, Dr. Jack Howells, was found in the highways and the hedges. And under his ministry, more than 1 million people walked the aisles for salvation. I know what the critics say, but the critics are a dime a dozen. I was there in his ministry when cities shut down. You heard the news recently that the Chicago Bears are going to move to Hammond? Well, I tried to think about what would Brother Howells do if he was alive and they did that. Well, when they wouldn't have done it. Because he'd have said, I'm going to have more in Sunday school than you'll have in that stadium. The point I'm making is he didn't come from fundamental royalty. How many others through history have been found in the broken places? But regardless of what God ever pulled, if God ever pulls somebody out and uses them in that capacity again, they are valuable to God. They have value to Him, so they should have value to us. And I conclude tonight with reminding us of what we talked about all those weeks with charity. We love them because He loves them. We show them charity because of what they mean to God. You're going to come across somebody this week who's broken. Are you going to move by them real quickly? There's somebody you're going to come in contact with, whether you work with them, they live in your neighborhood, you've invited before and they haven't come. Well, I texted them before, I called them before, I went by before, but you don't know what's happened in their life since the last time you had that conversation. You don't know that they have a broken heart now. You don't know that life's changed for them now. You don't know that just the weight of the world has softened them. Hey, let's not bypass the highways and hedges. I'm thankful we have a church that God is using to reach people that obviously haven't been reached yet, but that perhaps others aren't trying to reach. And friend, I do take it as a great opportunity the favor the Lord is showing on us. And we cannot squander it because there are real souls at stake. There are broken hearts that need to be helped. In the days in the future, your pastor is going to call on you. See, I need help in this ministry. I need help in this avenue. It may seem a little bit unusual. What it is we're going into the highways and the hedges. We're going to compel them to come in. May we continue to do so. Father, help us as we consider these truths.